Tov. We're beginning a special class on Megillas Eicha. Eicha is called Kinot, Sefer Kinot. Maybe the correct translation is Lamentations. And it was compiled by the prophet Jeremiah, the Navi Yirmiyahu, who is compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Navi Yirmiyahu brought it before the Judean king Jehoiakim. And the first version of Eicha had chapter 1, Eicha Yosheva Vadad. And it had chapter 2, Eicha Yaiv Be'afo. And then it had chapter 4, Eicha Yu'am Zahav. So chapter 1, 2, and 4 are written in the order of the Aleph Beis. First verse Aleph, second verse Beis. Jehoiakim heard of the destruction of Jerusalem and was unmoved until he heard that the ruling party would be ousted, that the enemies would take control of the people. And then he grabbed the scroll, tore it up, threw it into the furnace. And Hashem said, okay, you came to him with three series of Aleph Beis, double it. And then chapter 3 was written. And in chapter 3, you have three verses for each of the Aleph Beis. So although they are shorter verses, the Aleph Beis connotes a wholeness. And the description of this destruction would become not only the prophetic vision of Jeremiah, of the destruction of the first temple, but the lamentations of the Jewish people as they traveled throughout the exiles. Remember that Yirmiyahu wrote the book of Eicha years before the destruction. He was coming before the Jewish king and trying to convince him to repent. So we begin. It was requested that I read it with a traditional tune and then explain. Do you want the Israeli pronunciation or Ashkenazi pronunciation?
Israeli.
Israeli, okay. Eicha. We have a custom that you begin low, and with every subsequent chapter, you read it slightly higher. Eicha. Yashiva Vadad. Ha'il. Rabati am hayeta kealmana. How is it? The word Eicha is a declaration and it is also a question. Eicha. How did it come to that? And we could understand that the question is 1, 2, 3, 4. We can understand that the question spreads itself out on the whole chapter. We're going to have to ask ourselves, is that question ever answered? Is it a question to ourselves? Is it a question pointing a finger? And is the question answered in Lamentations? So, Eicha. The simple reading, the assumption by most people is that it's not really a question, it's a rhetorical question. How could it be that it came to this? So, Eicha could also mean Eiko. And Eicha could also be pointing a finger to ourselves. We haven't lived up to what we should. Eicha has the numerical value of 36. Chazal say we transgressed all 36 prohibitions that carry the weight of Kares. Eicha is the word in which Hashem greeted Adam after his sin. Ayeko are the letters of Eicha. Eicha. How did it come to be that Ha'ir Rabat Yam, the city with the great nation, was Yasheva Vadad, sat in seclusion? The terms here really deserve more depth. What does it mean, sat? What does it mean, rabasi great nation? We're not talking about numbers. We're talking about the value, we're talking about the essence of the people, we're not talking about the numbers, even though Chazal also say that Jerusalem had many people in it. So then Lamentations is now focusing on the city. We're not talking about the people. How did that city that had tremendous people, how did it come to sit in seclusion? How did it become like a widow? Like a widow. The Navi is giving us, at the same time that he is giving us over the head, he is also giving us a shot in the arm. At the same time that he is rebuking the people, he is also telling them there is hope. You are only like a widow. Your husband hasn't passed away. Rabati vagoyim. She was famous. She was great among the nations. Sarati bamedinot. Hayeta lamas. The city that ruled among the nations would now be taxed, would now be perpetually tormented. Hayeta lamas. They became the object of other people's torment. The nations would focus on how to bring them down. Mas could mean taxes. Mas could also mean to take away, to withhold, to constantly wear away at. Bachotiv ke balayla. Weep, she does weep through the night. V'dimata al lechaya. And her cheek is, and her tear is ever present on her cheek. Ein la minachem mikol ohaveha. All her lovers aren't there to comfort her. Kol reeha, all those friends, bageduva. They turned traitors on her. Hayula leoyevim. They became her enemies. So, the city of Jerusalem, that's what we started talking about. And now we're talking about the people. The temple was burnt twice at this night. The people wept for naught at this night, the night of Tisha B'Av. And so Hashem said, okay, you'll keep weeping on this night. A person who cries at night can be heard for great distances because there isn't noise around. So she weeps where everyone can hear her. Everyone sees the destruction of Israel. So Hashem decreed this would be a night of weeping. So Hashem is warning over here. That night the temple will be destroyed. And Yirmiyahu is rebuking. He's begging the people. He's painting the picture of what the destruction is going to look like. Remember, this is all foreshadowing. Didn't happen yet. This is all prophesizing. But the people refuse to listen. And so Nebuchadnezzar comes and destroys Jerusalem. He lays a siege, burns the temple on the 9th of Av. And so the people of Israel weep and their tears on their cheek. And so the simple reading of this verse is that we've shifted from talking about the city to talking about the inhabitants of the city. And one can also understand that the word Eicha is going on this pasuk as well. What brought her to this state? And you'll notice that after the word Eicha, there's a pause, there's that line. Eicha, as if there were a colon. How did it come to be that the city is desolate? The people, Bachotiv ke balayla, she weeps at night. How did it come to be that all her lovers are now her enemies? They've all turned traitors. And obviously the lovers are the nations with whom we made peace treaties, and we had confidence in those peace treaties. We turned our back on our Creator and said, nothing's going to happen, we have all these peace treaties, everything's okay. Galeta Yehuda me'oni u'merov avodah. Hi yashiva vagoyin lo matza manoach kol hodefeha hisigoha bein hametzarim. Galeta Yehuda Meoni. Judea has been exiled from her land because Judea was impoverished. Really? It was the poverty that caused us to be in exile? Meoni could be meant poverty, and then it means poverty of Torah and mitzvos. Meoni could also mean due to inui, due to affliction, because they afflicted the orphans. They took advantage of the widows. They had a lot of idol worship. They had adultery. They had every defiled form of behavior. And so, because of that, umeirov avodah, because they made people work too hard. Chazal tell us, the psukim tell us, they wouldn't let the slaves go free. So then Hashem says, okay, you held on to my children into slavery, I send you out into slavery. He yashivava goyim, and so they were exiled out among the nations, and lo matzah manoach, and so corresponding to their withholding rest from their servants, Hashem withheld rest from them. Lo matzah manoach. The alternate interpretation, Chazal say, lo matzah manoach, that even when they were exiled, they kept on being resold. No one wanted to hold on to them. It wasn't like they could settle down anywhere. But, okay, those are two interpretations. Kol rodefeha, all those who pursued her, hisigua, caught up to her, bein hamitzarim, between the borders. Bein hamitzarim could be the between two fields. As you plow a field, so you're pushing up all the dirt, and you end up having mounds of dirt at the edge of each field. So that's the hardest place to run, because you're running uphill and stumbling on those mounds of dirt. So that's the easiest place to catch a person. So, Chazal tell us that Bein HaMitzarim means between the boundaries of, we know, Shiva Sofer Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. Classically, these were difficult times for the Jewish people. Bein HaMitzarim, we call them. Chazal say that's this period of time where bad things happened in Jewish history. Bein HaMitzarim. What?
This year is no exception.
This year is no exception.
Because the whole of life has been a Mitzarim.
Okay.
Start off somewhere, I guess. And then Olam Haba.
I hear. So, in the yeshivas, they like to say that Bein HaMitzarim are between the boundaries, and that's always the difficult time. You finish this year, in Elul you'll start next year, and what do you have in between? Bein HaMitzarim, between two boundaries, Bein HaZmanim. What are you going to do? So there's no system. When a person is without a system, when he's without a framework, very often a person falls. So that's another interpretation that a person has to bear in mind. The yeshiva's off, so now what? So for most people don't like having Sunday off. You go to the United States, people say, I bum out Sunday. I had parents of students who told me that they would volunteer to go to work on Sunday. They said, if I don't go to work on Sunday, I stay home, I fight with my wife, I drink a beer, I fight with the neighbor. Nothing good comes out of it. I'm going to work. They pay me overtime. They don't pay me overtime. I don't care. Life is a better life if I go to work. So, okay. Intelligent people. You stand without a system. If you don't have a framework, most people end up falling apart.
I don't like the Bain.
Most people don't like Bain's money. That's why we'll talk next week, Bezrat Hashem. Darchei Tzion Avelot Mibli Ba'ei Moed Kol She'areha Shomimin Kohaneha Nenachim. The paths of Zion, the paths of Jerusalem are in mourning, because no one's coming up on the holidays. The gates are desolate, and the priests sigh. What's happening here? All the years that Jerusalem was built, no one wanted to go up. People didn't show up for the regalim. And so Hashem says, you don't come, so don't come. And so the paths of Zion became desolate. No one would go through them. the Kohanim side, no more sacrifices. Hashem says, you weren't too interested when you had the option. Betuloteha nugot vehimala. Her virgins, her young maidens, are nugot. What does nugot mean? They are in sorrow. Ordinarily, when we think of a virgin, we think of someone filled with life, someone with a spark in their eye. Betuloteha nugot, the exact opposite. The virgins are filled with sorrow. Vehi, and she, mala. It is bitter for her. Who is she? Zion. Again, notice how we speak about her. She is personified throughout the Megillah. There is a very important Rashi here. Rashi says, what is the root of the word nugot? Gimel, says Rashi. So Rashi throughout Tanakh has this position. He says a nun is a shoresh of one word. Nun alone is a shoresh. And here Gimel alone is a shoresh. Okay. Important Rashi. Yes.
It says
today. What? It says Yurtzai today? When? Rosh Chodesh Av or the end of Tammuz?
I read it this morning on
Ish.com. Oh, Chavtes Tammuz.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So they stopped having the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur when they'd go out and celebrate. So the virgins have a shidduch crisis because on the 15th of Av and on the 10th of Tishrei, that was when whoever couldn't find the shidduch would find their shidduch. They'd have a mass singles event going out into the vineyards. If you could get a shidduch without that, you didn't go to a vineyard to pluck your mate. But it was a source of solution. People did end up getting married out of that. Hayu tzareha lerosh oyeveha shalu. Ki Adonai Hoga al Rov Pesha'eham. Hayutzareha lerosh. This is the verse that got Yoyakim all worked up. The enemies took control. Oyeveha Shalu. Her enemies are sitting in tranquility. Ki Hashem Hoga. Because Hashem gave her misery al Rov Pesha'eham. Over her rebellious ways. Hashem broke her over her rebellious ways. Olaleha halechu shivi lifnei tzar. Her little children that still need diapers walked in captivity in front of the enemies. Vayetze mi bat Zion. Kol hadara, the glory left Zion. Hayu sareha keayalim lo matzeu mireim. Her leaders were like rams that can't find any place to graze. They don't have any more strength to run. Vayelechu vilochoach. And so they had no strength. They went without any strength from those that gave chase after them. The enemies would chase and catch them easily because even the leaders were hungry. They were broken from the hunger, the siege that was laid over Jerusalem. Zachera Yerushalayim Yemei Onya Umrudeha Kol Machamudeha Asher Hayu Mimekedem. Jerusalem remembers the old times when she'd have all those cities, open cities, fortified cities. And there was a time where Jerusalem ruled the world. Binfol ama biyad tzar. V'yeinu zeir lach ra'u hatzarim sachaku al mishbateham. So Jerusalem thinks back and thinks over the destruction and remembers there were once good times. And she sees now how her nation was given in the hands of the enemy. No one's come to help. Quite the contrary. The enemy looks and laughs. Sachaku al mishbateha. The enemy looks at her and laughs that no one's living in Israel anymore. Sachaku al mishbateha. They laugh over Shabbat. Shabbat means to cease, to withhold. That things stop being good for her, for Jerusalem. So, what is that talking about? There's a Midrash that says when they were exiled, they started keeping Shabbos and Yom Tov. Look at that. They started keeping Shemitah. And the nation started laughing at them. And said, they said, fools. When you were in Israel, you didn't keep Shemitah. Now that you're in exile, you're going to start keeping Shemitah. When you were in Israel, you didn't keep Shabbos. Now you're going to start keeping Shabbos. So the people were repenting. They did tshuva. And the enemies, sachaku al mishbateha. They laughed at our tshuva that we started keeping Shabbos. What? As part of their tshuva. Shemitah obviously wasn't with regards to the land. They did Shemitah with regards to the loans, I guess. Chet chatea Yerushalayim. Jerusalem has great sin. Al kein lenida hayata. And that's why she was a nida. What does the word nida mean? So nida could mean a woman who has her onset. And people stay away from her at that time. So that's one understanding. The other understanding is nida could mean to have a flow. Nida could mean to move. So if we were sojourners, a nida is called a nida because she has a flow. She has movement. She has the onset. So too here, the city of Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem, flowed out of her. That's a pretty gory description of the people. Al ken lenida hayata. So we could say a better description of Navanad. That's why the people were forced to exile to move out of Jerusalem. Kol mechabedeha hiziluha ki ra'uhu ervatah. The nations that used to value her, now they mock her because they've seen her private parts. Gam hinencha vatashov achor. She too sighs and turns away. So what's going on here? So we can understand it on the metaphoric level. They've seen her shame, and so they don't value her now that she was brought down. But just like when we learn Mishle, we try to learn the lesson from the simple reading of the Pasuk. Over here too, there's a very important meaning in the simple reading of the Pasuk. Hashem created us that the more a woman conceals, the more modest she is, the more a man has a desire to uncover. That's part of the nature of the beast. One of the pieces of advice that we would give a person when he's getting married is, keep something covered. Don't let yourself see everything. It's in your own interest. Because so long as you haven't seen everything, you'll always want to see. You'll always have something, some element of, there's something here, I don't know what's really going on. And the flip side, when a person allows himself to see anything he wants, so then the natural response is what happens here. Kol mechabdeha hiziluha. That even one who honors someone, that person becomes cheap in their eyes, once they've seen the parts that are ordinarily covered. So yeah, Hashem created us that It's in our interest because it keeps a certain spice, it keeps a certain, what's the word for it in English? It's not only desire, there's something out there that you don't have. It's still tantalizing. There's still something beyond the person's reach, so to speak. There's more to the person than you've had. Whereas it's against the person's interest, really, to allow himself more than that, because the natural response is what the pasuk tells us. Tumata bishuleha. Again, the Navi is taking a metaphor that's very gory. The Navi is describing a woman having her period without any sanitary pads, and then her clothing start getting filthy, and so the Navi describes tum'ata, her defilement, is bishuleha. You start seeing the bottom of her clothing being dirtied, soiled by it. Shuleha, or the bottom of her clothing. Lo zachera acharita vateret pela'im ein menachem la. So, what do you say? How does that happen? If a person doesn't think of what's going to happen, you think in advance, you carry along a sanitary pad. So, the Navi is describing that they didn't think of what the price of their sins would be, and that's why Vateret Tilaim, they fell greatly, because they let themselves enjoy the moment, not thinking of what the price would be ultimately for that enjoyment. Tumata bishuleha, her defilement is on the bottom of her clothing. The Navi again is saying a gory picture using the nicest words he could. Notice he doesn't say dama, he doesn't say her blood, he says her defilement, her tum'ah. And the Navi is really trying to point out that there are things that are ordinarily in private. And even that became revealed, meaning the people were so brazen about their sins that they did them openly. The Gemara says two men would meet in the marketplace and they'd compare notes. Which prostitute were you with today? They weren't embarrassed about it. Unfortunately, I have to say, the world has devolved so much that today, I don't know, I don't know, I don't want to talk about Israel, but let's talk about the rest of the world. People publicize things that people should really be embarrassed. And that's what the Navi is describing as a person whose clothing are soiled from their onset, that something, even though it's something that a person would ordinarily be embarrassed about, they weren't. Re'e Adonai et onyi ki higdil oyev. And now for the first time, the Navi speaks on behalf of the people. You're finally hearing them cry out. What do they say? See Hashem, see my suffering, because the nation has gone so far. My enemy has gone so far. Yado parasar al kol machamadeha. The enemy let his hands go and touch her most cherished things, and the Navi is describing how Nebuchadnezzar personally drew his own sword and went through the temple destroying. Chazal tell us this pasuk is referring to our neighbors, the Ammonites and the Moabites, who with great zeal entered the land of Israel to burn the different Sifrei Torah. Everyone else was looting the gold and silver, but they wanted to destroy Sifrei Torah. And that was because the Torah says, Lo yavo amoni u'moavi bikal Hashem. So the Torah singles them out that they are not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. So they wanted to go and destroy that. Yado paras tzav. The enemy extended his hand al kol machamadea over Am Yisrael's treasures, and our treasures are our Sifrei Torah. Kirata goyim ba'u mikdasha asher tzivita. lo yavov v'kahal lach. For she witnessed how enemies, how nations entered the temple. Enemies that you commanded are not allowed to marry into the congregation of Israel. So here the pasuk is pretty clearly telling us we're talking about the Ammonites and Moabites. Kol amah ne'nachim mevakashim lechem natenu machamadehem le'ochel lashiv nafesh. Her nation, and here you see again, we are described as the nation of Jerusalem, not the nation of Israel. The verses have not spoken about the land of Israel. They're talking about Jerusalem, about Zion. And we are the people of Zion. We are the people of Jerusalem. People would often ask me, are you a Zionist? I'd say 100%, just like King David. Don't know what's about you. But I say, Es Shivas Tzion Hayinu Kechol Mim. So if David HaMelech wasn't embarrassed to say it, I can say it. I don't know. We are described as the people of Zion. I'm talking about Hasidim on the bus. I'm talking about my Satmar friend.
Why are we not referred to as the people of Israel?
Wait, let's see. The Megillah is focusing on Jerusalem so far, and we are the people of Jerusalem. Kol Amma, all of her people. We are the people of Jerusalem. There's more to be discussed, but let's hold off on it now. Ne'enachim, they are sighing out of hunger. Mevakashim lechem, they are asking for bread. Natenu machamadehem, they've given their most cherished things. Be'ochel, in exchange for food. La'ashiv nafesh, in order to hold on to their lives. Re'e Adonai v'habita. Ki hayiti zoleila. Hashem, take a look. Take note. See how I have been ravenous. So that's the first 11 psukim of Eicha.